Okay, so last week we were talking, we started the mitzvah of Kesef Talves Ami, the mitzvah to lend money. And we were discussing the Chavetz Chaim, how he learns that the mitzvah of Kesef Talves Ami, of lending money, is a chelek, is a part of mitzvah tzedakah. And in a way, it's larger and greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah for two reasons. One is because you are not embarrassing the ani. And more is because it could be encompasses another mitzvah. What's the other mitzvah? The other mitzvah is vechezakta boy. Vechezakta boy means that when someone's about to fall, perhaps you can hold them up so that they shouldn't fall. And it'll be a chiddush of the mitzvah of halvah that you can lend someone money and be makayim the mitzvah vechezakta boy. Now, that's true even if you lend money to a person who's technically not an ani. Maybe he's technically not an ani, but afal pi kein, he right now needs money because otherwise he loses his business, or otherwise he can't pay his mortgage, or something going on, a different inyan, that he needs money right now to pay his employees or something. But he's not etzem, a poor person. So you could be mekayem the mitzvah of hechazakta boy, but it wouldn't be the mitzvah of tzedakah to an ani. But if you give the loan to an ani, you're being mekayem the mitzvah of tzedakah. So we mentioned the halacha. And that it would come out according to this, that you could, if someone comes to you to ask you to borrow money, you could use your maaser money to give it to them. Because this is the kiyum of a mitzvah of tzedakah. Now, you're a little bothered by that, or it's a chiddush to you. So, we're looking into it further. So, a few chiddushim over here. But before we a few chiddushim over here. So the chidushim are like this. Number one, this actual idea that Chafetz Chaim says that the mitzvah of vehechezakta boy, according to the Rambam, is part of tzedakah, is actually a machloikis in the Rishonim. The Ramban argues on that, and the Chafetz Chaim himself brings it down. The Bris Karov brings it, and others bring it. That this pasuk that I have over here, the pasuk at the bottom of the page, says ki yamo chachicha. If your friend is getting weak, umata yadoi imach, and his hand is getting, you should put your hand there, vechazakta boy, and hold him up, ger v'soyisha v'chai imach, so he should live with you. Okay? Now, there's a whole musar vod here, the Chafetz Chaim brings down, v'chai imach, if you know, he's going to live with you, if you don't help him, you're going to live with him. In other words, you're right now doing fine. He's about to fall. So help him up that he should live with you, meaning also as a person that has a parnasa or whatever. Zakta Chafetz Chaim brings the medrash, because otherwise, you let him go, Hashem is going to let you go too, and you're going to live with him. So you're going to live with him regardless. So you have a choice. You either you bring him up, or you're going to go with him. So that's how he says that's how he explains the, in Alpi Musar, the Pasuk. But Lamaisa, the Pasuk say, make sure he doesn't fall. So the Rambam lists this as a part of tzedakah, but the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam has a Sefer HaMitzvot, the Ramban has the list of mitzvot where he argues on the Rambam. So he brings down this mitzvah of Nitztavinu lahachnois ger toshav lahatzol meroi mera osa. I didn't bring it there. You have to help a ani. Shim haya tevea benar, whatever it is. Then he says, you have to give him life. The Rambam says this is part of tzedakah. It's really a separate mitzvah. So the Ramban says that this type of loan, when you're helping someone that's not necessarily an ani, this type of loan is really a separate mitzvah. So now the Chafetz Chaim says like this. This that I'm saying that you could lend money with your maaser money is really only according to the Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, it's tzedakah. According to the Ramban, maybe not. We paskin like the Rambam. But he would say that according to the Ramban, maybe it's not so pasha. However, what is the minhag ha'olam? Let me ask you. Do we do only tzedakah with our maaser? Or do we also use our maaser money for chesed? Technically speaking, again, it's a good thing this week Zalmi's not here. So I'm about to say something he's not going to like. But technically speaking, Meister money is for tzedakah, which means tzedakah is, according to the Chavetz Chaim, two things. Hachzakas ha-Torah and giving to poor people. But supporting chesed organizations does not go into Meister necessarily. So for example, Hatzalah, which is a need of the community, but that wouldn't go into Meister, technically. It's above and beyond Meister. It's between Meister and Chaymish. Beyond Meister is Chai Lifeline, Bikur Cholim, and Hatzalah, these things. Tom Cheshavis is poor people. Things which are poor people, or Hachzakas HaTorah, the Chavetz Chaim says that goes into Meister, the Ikur Meister. Beyond that is what you do Chesed. Chesed technically does not go into Meister. It sounds like a Chiddush to people, but this the Chavetz Chaim says. And look around at everyone. What? Exactly. Same concept. So that would mean that chesed organizations, so says the Chavetz Chaim, according to that, loaning money is a chesed, according to the Ramban. So according to the Ramban, it's only chesed, so you can't use your ma'aser. But according to the Ramban, it's tzedakah, you could use your ma'aser. But if the minhag ha'olam is that when I set aside my ma'aser, I'm assuming I'm going to use that for all the things in the community, including chesed, so you're allowed to have that in mind. If you didn't have in mind, then you go by the ikar halacha, which means it has to be for tzedakah. But if you had in mind that when I set aside my ma'aser, I'm doing it to include chesed, then you're allowed to give to Hatzalah. So if a person is giving their money to Hatzalah and Chai Lifeline and Bikur Cholim, then they could also give their money as a loan, for sure. If they're very makbid that their ma'aser money is for tzedakah, then it'll be subject to the machlokes, the Ramban and the Rambam. That's what Chavetz Chaim basically says. I think that A, the minhag ha'olam is to use their meiser money for chesed. So that is a minhag ha'olam. But beyond that, we anyway pass like the Rambam that it's tzedakah. Okay? So that would be the nafka mina.
What's the makarva that could use meiser for tzedakah as a mitzvah? And if there's a...
It's not mitzvah. Because that was what meiser tevua was. What was meiser tevua? It was used to be machzik people that didn't have land, i.e. the Levim and the Kayanim. So the purpose of Meiser in the Beis HaMikdash had a dual purpose. To be machzik, those who don't have their own land, and it happens to be that the Kayanim and the Levim were taught Torah. Right? So therefore being machzik, if you have a poor Talmid Chacham, right, so then you have people that they're learning, and that's their Parnasa, so then you have both. They're Aniyim and Machzikei Torah. So giving, I mean, not that any negias over anything, but if you're giving to Koyli and Goliath, is b'chor the highest level of Meiser, because it's both tzedakah and Meiser, and Hachzakah Satara. But technically, giving to a yeshiva or anything, or aniyim, is a kiyum of Meiser. Chesed is beyond that. Okay? So chesed is beyond that. So therefore, loaning money, according to the Ramban, is a chesed, according to the Rambam, it's tzedakah, and that would be the nafkamina.
My six seven,
yeah.
This is so far off from the Torah, so
how? Yeah, but he said the minig was, I'll pee this. The minig was to do as similar we could to my six four, which is to give to aniyim or to
minig. So again, if you go with the minig, then it's not.
No, we said, but the original takana was to do similar to my six four, which is to aniyim and machzik Torah. So that's what he holds. The Chavetz Chaim should be the ikar of your meiser. Tzedakah and Machzik Torah. Beyond that is Chesed, and that would depend. Now,
if you loan money as Tzedakah or as Meiser or as Chesed, and a miracle happens,
he pays you back. Yeah.
do you have to keep that in?
Okay, so let's talk about that now. Now I want to go to the next point. So now the Chavetz Chaim goes a step further. Two steps further he goes, which is mamash unbelievable. So one step further he goes, he says, Lamaisa, the Chavetz Chaim says, I really like the mitzvah of tzedakah, of loaning. I like the mitzvah of loaning. I think it's a very good mitzvah. Because the aniyim feel good about it. You can loan someone money. If he's asking for a loan, that means he's not that desperate yet. That means you're saving him from becoming desperate. So there's a real inyan in giving a loan. Zok the Chavetz Chaim, therefore, I would suggest that in your meiser money, you give away 2/3 of your money as tzedakah. But 1/3 of your meiser, you should keep to give loans to people. That's what Chavetz Chaim holds. So you know, so far he holds that it's a kiyum of meiser, that he owes lechatchila you should loan 1/3 of your meiser. You should loan 1/3 of your meiser. Now, to Shmuel's point, the Chafetz Chaim is very clear that what we're talking about, loans, is loans that you're going to get paid back. You have some guarantee you're going to get paid back. Either you took a mashkin, you took from him a mashkin, or you have a raven. You have a way of making sure you're going to get back the money. If you're not going to get back the money, we're not talking about that. Maybe that just goes into giving it away. We're talking about you're going to get back the money, okay, hypothetically. So the Chafetz Chaim goes so far as to say that l'chatchila you should set up a third of your money, of your ma'aser, should be for loans. So that's how far he goes with this. It's a big chiddush. Okay?
That's, you don't get paid back because you write it off.
Yeah, Mistami, you write it off. You didn't get paid back. Yeah. But he said, l'chatchila, you could do this. He says, I'll read you the Lashon. It's in Avas Chesed, Chelik Beis.
So you have to keep that money in the loan circulation then. You can't, it's never yours personally again.
At this stage, yes. He says, "Ata novi levar eze derech yavar adam lotzis dechuvas mitzvot chesed betmidus." It's not there because this is much later in the sefer. So he says, "Yafresh meiser from your revach. All your profit, you should separate meiser umizeh, and from this yifazer shnei shlish leim letzdaka. 2/3 of that you should give away to people that need it. Ushlish yemunach etzlik de lekayim midas chesed, which is to loan out the money." And he brings on the bottom, he's just like the Rambam, whatever. He brings that whole piece. But that's the Chafetz Chaim holds. So clearly he holds, we're going with the Shita that it's tzedakah, and you could loan a third of your money, assume it stays in circulation. He discusses later, if you don't have a lot of money to loan, so it may not make an impact, maybe you should get together with other people and make a gemach, and loan your money to gemach. There's different things he discusses there.
Why needs to be 1/3? Where
he comes to me, he doesn't bring a source for that. He's saying it himself. He's not getting into that chiluk right now. He doesn't get into that chiluk. Now, then he says like this. He says, "What happens? We're going to say it." He doesn't say these words, but let's say we're going to say these words as a pet peeve of my chavrusa. That let's say somebody made sold a property at a big gain. And then he does a 1040 exchange. 1031 exchange, not 1040 is not a good idea. 1030 exchange. 1031 exchange. So he doesn't have to pay the taxes on the revach that he just made. So people make a gzeir shava between the IRS and Hilchos Meiser. And if I don't have to pay Meiser on it, then if I don't have to pay taxes on it, unless I don't have to pay Meiser either, because I never took the money. I just reinvested it into another property. So the Meiser, the halacha kipshuta, is not like that. And if it's considered a different business, then you kind of, that LLC that owned that property, that or whatever, that property was one business, that's over. And then you switched it to a new business venture. So that's over. You cashed out. Now you're reinvesting into a new business. So kipshuta yuchayv meiser on it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, what about a guy? It's very hard for him to give meiser. It's a lot of money or whatever. It's very hard for him to give the meiser. He doesn't want to give the meiser. The meiser I give once I buy the new property and I'm making revach on it. I have no problem. I'll give meiser off the revach, but I don't want to give meiser off the keren. Right? I'll buy the new building. I'm making money off it every month, every year. I'm giving meiser, no problem. But this money that I have is my keren. It's hard for me to give the meiser. So the Chafetz Chaim, to help the person get over his yetzer hara, he says he could take all of the money and set it aside for loans. That's what he said. Set aside for loans. And then he says, theoretically, if he needs the money, he could also be a beneficiary of the loan. Because you could loan yourself the money. And then you loan yourself the money, and then you could pay it back to the gemach. So theoretically, he says you can mekayim meiser even like that, where it's 100% for loans. So this is for this type of case where he says it's very hard for the guy to give meiser, it's hard for him to give it away, and whatever. But he says you could do that. In the bottom, on the footnote, he wants to know, which is what the Ilm's wondering, is who owns that money? Let's say he sets it aside for gemach, and then he dies. Is the gemach its independent ownership, and now the gemach lives on? Or really, it was his own money, and he was just meshabed himself, like a shibud aguf. He took upon himself a mitzvah to use that money to loan money. But his kids are not meshabed to that. They don't have to. And theoretically, the money would belong to the children. Or, and it's still really his money, or he mamash gave it away to Meiser. He just, Lemaiser, instead of giving it away to Anim, he doesn't see it anymore, he gave it away to a gemach, and he could still borrow the money. So that makes him feel better emotionally. But really, it's not his money anymore. So this is a shaila he has, how to explain what happens over here. But he says, if you did that, if you did this, and you set it aside your Makai Meiser Kohen to everyone, mi yishlon luma de mafer shamois lechalutin l'shem gemach, then shamois lo yu be'etzem shaloi levasoif, yoytze b'zei de Meiser l'kuli alma. That's for sure. So this is a very big chiddush. He's saying here that you could theoretically fulfill your Meiser by giving it all over to gemach, as long as the ownership, you know, became kind of this gemach. But again, you could theoretically be a beneficiary of the gemach as well and take back the money. So if a person has a suffix, or they're kind of trying to, you know, wiggle out of this case of paying Meiser off the Karen, theoretically you could do this as an Eitzah. Okay? But this is the Chafetz Chaim. My point in bringing this out is to show in all these sources that the Chafetz Chaim holds 100% clearly. I mean, again, the Ramban, but basically that Lididan, we would fulfill the mitzvah, the chi of Maisa with lending money. Okay? And this is assuming the money comes back into the Gemach. Obviously, it doesn't come back in. But assuming it comes back in. Okay, he also brings an El Yerabba that says like this. The El Yerabba said, now, again, this is talking about loaning someone money that needs the money for their basic living expenses. He's talking about loaning someone money for a business deal. That could be for sure is only under chesed, not under tzedakah, and that would be subject to that other machloikis if you could use your mitzvah money for hatzalah or the chasadim. But if for sure, lending someone money that needs the money would be considered stuck according to the Rambam, which we pass like, and that would be mutter to use your mitzvah money for it. Okay? So far, so good?
So the definition of the money, I mean, studies throughout Shas about how an ani has, you know, barely enough to have one meal per day.
Yeah, so we're talking about that yesterday.
Today, when you're supporting someone, you have money, kyle, or whatever it is, there's no way they're.
I think ani today, and I think Mars has 200 zuz, right? I think that the way we understand it is that do they basically make enough income to pay their basic needs, to have money for their basic needs? You know, one meal, two meals. That's an Evian for Purim, maybe. There's a shear of, an Evian that, for Matanos Evian, I mean, it needs to be someone that really, literally, maybe you're helping them buy food. Even that, we don't really pass him like that. I asked Rabbi Forsheimer in Lakewood about if you have somebody that, you know, they're, whatever, you know, month to month, like basically, but they basically make it work, and they're making a chasana now. Does that qualify as an Evian? Can you give them a ton of slav yoinim? Because now they have an extra expense. It's 100% you can give them a ton of slav yoinim. Someone making a chasana. So,
it is.
So, you know what I mean?
Normal expense.
Right. It doesn't have to be that that if you don't give him the money, he's going to die of poverty.
Right. I know the child was once asked, because in the times of the government, there was no such thing as insurance. You didn't have to pay for, you know, windstorm insurance or homeowner's insurance.
Exactly. So that goes into life expenses. You can't own a house otherwise.
Right.
Unless you have enough cash to pay, you without a mortgage. Right. So.
If you give a loan without a guarantor and without.
I don't know. The Chafetz Chaim is not so such a fan of that.
But you have to. My question is, if you give a loan without a guarantor, without a
mashkin.
You just, in your mind, just have to assume that you're not getting it back, that you're doing that.
Not have to, I mean, but the reason you have to is because of what Moshe said. Because otherwise, you're over lifnei iver also. There's another Aveira. Is that if you're expecting to get it back, but you really think he's not going to get it back, then it's also to do that because you're now causing him to do an Aveira of not paying a loan.
But isn't it more of a chesed to give somebody, you know, somebody doesn't want to get a handout, but they feel better about receiving a loan?
Okay, so then in your mind, you're not expecting it back. You're just playing along with his game, but really, but the Gemara says it's really a law. I need the money. I cannot afford to lose this money, and I'm giving it to him, hoping he's going to give it back. Lemais, I feel bad taking a mashkin this and that. Lemais is slifna iver. The Gemara says that the Gemara talks about someone came to one of the Amiroim on Erev Shabbos to borrow money, and he said, "I can't lend you money now because no one's available to be the Edim." So Edim. I'm your neighbor. What do you need Edim for? Because otherwise, if I lend you money without Edim, and I want to write it down, and I want to have two witnesses, then it's Lifnei Iver.
But nowadays, you can see if they're wiring the money, you have proof that it was...
Right, nowadays, the fact you have Edim still is not necessarily a motivation to pay back. Edim has nothing to do one with the other. In order to get paid back, you need a mashkin, and you need, you know...
The only thing is that you can prove that the loan was made...
Right, over there, it's even a greater chashash. Over there, yeah. The Gemara was assuming that the guy, Mamash, he's an honest guy, he's my neighbor. But there's a chashash, and in order to protect his own integrity, he's going to lie and say he never borrowed the money.
So, texts, WhatsApps, emails...
No, that's okay. Then you have a raya. That's ksav yodoy. That's mamash. That's ksav yodoy, like the Gemara says.
There's one of a paper trail that he left in the money, so ksav yodoy or
right. But
or
the but now we're not even dealing with that. He admits that he owes you the money, but he's still not paying back. So lemaisa, you have to, we're talking about to be responsible. And then he says, when you run a gemach, you really should be machped to take mashkin, because otherwise the gemach will be diminished very quickly.
Or an arif.
Yeah. Most gemachs today will take an arif and will take the arif's credit card number, yeah. And you charge your credit card when it's due.
Wait, so you're saying you cannot lend your friend? You can't just lend your friend $20 without any aid or anything?
Well, you could afford to lose that $20, let's say. So therefore, you don't mind if he doesn't give you back, technically.
So as long as it's a little amount of money, $200, whatever it is, that if you didn't pay it back, you'd be willing to forgive.
You'd be willing to write it off, and you kind of in your back of your mind are thinking in that way.
Right.
If he's thinking like that, does the other guy get the avera of not paying it back?
He should be mochel it. I don't know if that's good enough.
Does he have to mochel it orally or just in his heart?
I think when I was involved with it, my Rashiva said, whenever you're going to make a loan, if it's any kind of like minimal number, $100, whatever it is, don't make loans. It's a matana. If you want to give it back, then give it back to me. But don't call it a loan. Because God forbid, if they forget to pay you back, they're over theirs. Lend me $100. Nobody's going to remember.
Yeah, but he's saying a good point. Then when he pays you back $100, you have to take off $10 maisa.
And how?
Okay, so not everyone wants to do that. Okay. Reverse interest.
Yeah. The guy found him.
I mean, look, it should be written down. It should be organized. And eventually, if a person thinks about it, they should either be moichel or try to get
back. Personalize it off, and then the guy pays back, then you have to
give myself. That's where, yeah, l'chara, yeah. Okay, next question. We discussed last time, are you mechuyev to forego potential gain to lend money? Okay, now, most people are going to forego some sort of gain to lend money, unless it's miser that you have sitting in your donor's fund account or in some other, you know, OG, some sort of account that you lend the money, so you're not really benefiting from the money sitting there. So it doesn't matter to you where the money is. But if you're going to go take money that you have sitting by you and lending someone money, what's it doing by you? Pashtus, it's making money. Right? Hopefully. You're doing something with the money. So are you mechuyev to take money out from where you have it and lose money in order to give someone money for free? So we already brought the Gemara. The Gemara says that you're mechuyev to lend a yid before a goy. For the Gemara, obviously, you'll have to lend a yid before a goy. It means even if the goy is willing to pay interest. So it's a mefurish Gemara. You're mechuyev to forgo interest in order to lend someone money for free. So the Paiskim have a big tumult. What does that mean? In the olden days, the Jewish parnasa wants to be money lenders. So that parnasa is over. You can no longer be a money lender to goyim because you have to lend to Jews for free. So obviously, if it's your parnasa, then you're allowed to continue that parnasa. You don't have to take out all your money and go lend it for free. So basically, what we said is last week we were talking about a minimal amount. Okay, now, this is talking about when it's not your Meiser money. So there's a big chiddush that when we were learning the Chafetz Chaim, we came across what the Chafetz Chaim is really saying is, let's say it's not my Meiser, and it's money I guarantee I will get back. I have no side of my mind I'm going to lose the money. I'm going to get it back. Why? Because I took a guarantor, I know the guarantor, I took his credit card information, I'm going to get the money back. I'm not concerned. Okay? Now, but he needs the money right now, this guy. And let's say it's not even a poor person. Let's say it's a person that needs the money temporarily for something else. But it's a chesed, right? So, the shaila is, am I mechuyev to forego potential gain to do a mitzvah? So don't we all say, obviously you are, right? Because otherwise, why do I have to buy a lulav? The money that I'm spending on the lulav could be my bank account, and it could be in the market making money. Obviously, we're willing to forego money to give a mitzvah. So says the Chafetz Chaim, and here you're not spending money out of pocket; you're just foregoing potential revach. So says the Chafetz Chaim, kipshutai, if you could afford it, you're mechuyev to loan money, even not from your meiser, because why wouldn't you? You could now, again, nowadays everyone's worried about lending money because they think you're never going to get it back, so it could be different. But assuming you're going to get it back, give him a free loan. What's the problem? Well, I'm making money. If you need that money, and that money is part of your overall parnasa, we're not talking about that. But let's say, Stam, I have extra money sitting in the thing. It's nice to make extra money on the side. If I have it, I have it. If I don't, I don't. So really, theoretically, you'd be mechuyev to forego that money to give someone a free loan. So he's mashma.
If it's closed up in a CD,
To lose money already, to pay out of pocket is different. To pay out of pocket, Moshe says you're not mechuyev. So I'm not mechuyev to go open up a line of credit to go lend you money for free. I'm mechuyev to pay money but we're talking about only if you're just, it's talking about foregoing a revach. Foregoing a revach, he holds you mechuyev. Next shaila.
If you open up a line of credit, obviously, there's interest.
Right, you can't charge him the interest. But Ramosha says, the interest that you're paying, you can take off your miser. Because that's the cost for you to do chesed.
He asked to open up the account.
We discussed that last week.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, if you do someone a favor, he wants to pay, like...
So you have to do a heteriska on that. Next question, on that note. Giving someone money with a heteriska, which, let's say the heteriska is just to cover your expense. This case, okay? I borrow money from my line of credit at 5%. I'm going to just relend it to you for 5%. I'm not making money, but I'm just having enough to pay my expenses. Right? But I'm going to do it with a heter iska. So Chafetz Chaim is mashma, you don't get the mitzvah of lending at that point.
What do you get?
It's a nice thing. Chesed, maybe. But really, an iska is really a business. So technically speaking, Chafetz Chaim hold is not really necessarily a mitzvah. They bring down in this thing, the Peli Yoitz maybe argues, if my whole intention is really just to help him, I don't really care about the 5%. That's not the point. The point is just that it's not really a business transaction. Very often, a heter iska is made on really real transactions. So then you're doing it as a business. But if you're doing it as a chesed, it could be that it would be a mitzvah. Okay? But it's not so partial. So it could be in that case you're losing the mitzvah. Right, the mitzvah of chazaktaba you have. Yeah, that you would have. Because the mitzvah you're without your money, he would be losing his job, you would be losing his business. So that mitzvah you get, for sure. Vechazaktaba, because you're helping him survive. But the mitzvah in Kesef Talva, maybe you're not getting because you're not doing a free loan. The Chafetz Chaim discusses a very interesting shaila, which is, the oil can weigh in on this. What do you think? You lend someone $12,000, and he says, I'll pay you back $1,000 a month. Do people like that, or people don't like that? Lemaisa, I had $12,000. I had a certain amount of, I had a fixed amount, and now the money's coming in, I lose track of it, it doesn't have the same chshivas. Or, as long as I'm getting back my money, I'm getting my money, I don't really care. The Chavetz Chaim is misupik. If when you lend the guy money, and he says he's going to pay you back monthly, if you're mechuyev to do that inside the mitzvah. Or is the mitzvah assuming he's going to replace for you the exact value that you got? Interesting suffix. And then he says, you do the mitzvah in Adrabba. If it's a mitzvah, then it's a higher mitzvah because you're making it easier for him to pay it back. But he's not klar if necessarily it's a mitzvah. The other suffix that Chavetz Chaim has, very interesting suffix, is what about extending credit as a store owner? Is that called a mekesef talvez ami? Right? You own a grocery, and he says, so it's definitely the kiyum of the mitzvah, but does he have the same chiyuv? He says, a store owner is not mechuyev to lend money. Don't come to him with that mitzvah and say, hey, lend me money so I should be able to buy him credit, I'll pay back eventually. Because he needs the money to run his store. So you're like the guy with the, that his business was lending money to Goyim, and you're telling him, close down your business because lend for everyone for free. The store needs the money to run. So if the store needs the money to run, if he's going to start giving out people credit, he's not going to be able to run the store.
Customers feel that way. They keep the vendors net 60, 90, 120, and they'll pay.
On nursing homes especially.
Grocery stores do lend. I have ownership in a lot of...
right.
But grocery stores do lend. Do they have credit?
No, it's beautiful that they lend. It's
so
beautiful. They're mekayim the mitzvah, but is he mechuyev to do it? A guy comes and he can't afford the food, or he could afford it, whatever. He asks to put on his thing. Does he have to feel guilty? Like, hey, it's a mitzvah. So, first of all, there's no mashkin there. I don't know if he's getting paid back anytime soon. You know, so, there was. There's a local, oh, I don't want to say it here. No, a very hush of a story. I just, I don't know if he wants to say. He is mistopic about that. Okay? Okay. Next Shiloh. So, what's the chiv? In Hilchos Tzedakah, we know that there's a Seder Kedima. Right? People in your city first. So your kroivim, your relatives, come before non-relatives. Says the Chavetz Chaim, that Seder Kedima applies to loaning money as well. So if you have enough money to lend to your neighbor or versus another guy, you never first. To lend to your relative versus a non-relative, the relative is first. Says the Chavetz Chaim, whatever Hilchas Kedima exists in Hilchas Tzedakah, exists also in Hilchas Halva. Now, Chavetz Chaim declares the following shaila. It's a great shaila over here. He wants to know what happens if, because kroivim have a chiyuv to lend, so he says, what happens if two people come to me? Okay, first of all, obviously, if two people come, one is an ani, one is an asher, you give to the ani first. One is an, they're both aniim, but one of them needs it for food, one of them needs it for clothing, food comes first. One of them needs it for clothing, one of them needs it for his mortgage, the food comes first. The clothing comes first. Okay, fine. Zok the Chafetz Chaim like this. What happens if, it says like this. In both of the Anoshim, Echad Mehem Yesh Lo Kroivim Ashirim Sheyichol Lo Havois of Echad Eina. Right? Two people come to you. And one of them, you know that this guy, his brother-in-law is the biggest gvira around. How do you know? Because his name is on every building in the city. But this is his sister and his brother-in-law, and they can't put food on the table. And he comes to you for a loan. So another guy comes to you for a loan, and this other guy has no one to turn to. Who do you give to? Are they the same? Or you mock them, the guy that has no kroivim? So says the Chafetz Chaim.
The Rambam's pretty clear on that in terms of priority.
No, you're relative. But let's say two people, neither is related to you.
Oh.
But one of them has relatives who are wealthy.
Oh, one of them has relatives.
So you're thinking to yourself, why should I lend them the money? let him go to his relatives. So it says the Chavetz Chaim.
They don't have wealthy relatives to go to either.
Right. So it says the Chavetz Chaim, you should bet him, stam pashtos, you should give the guy who has nowhere to go. He comes to you, you should give him, the other guy has where to go. Zog the Chavetz Chaim, but ich ach im hutzoyek v'oimer, shehakroivim einam roitzim lehetiv imoy. I can't go to them. They don't want to help me. Then shneim shavu. So unbelievable. It's like the Chavetz Chaim, just because a guy has kroivim, doesn't mean that the kroivim want to help him.
What if he's embarrassed to go to them? I'm too humiliated to go to them.
He can't. If he can't go to them, then I mean, I would assume it's the same. I don't know.
Because they're not a resource.
Well,
you get the guys from Bruce to go to them.
What?
I get called. No, seriously.
I know, but this is important, you said, because sometimes someone's collecting money for someone, and you're like, this guy, his shver is a gvir. What's the problem? Terrence says his shver is a gvir, and his shver wants to help other people. He doesn't get enough covered by helping his aidim. What?
Send the other guy to the brother.
Right.
There's always a story, but
exactly. Exactly. It's probably better, like he's saying, it's probably better. You help the guy who's brother, and then send the other money to the brother-in-law. He's gonna get then all of a sudden he's gonna get money. Right? So this is a very, very very negadic halacha that unfortunately, even though the ikar stuck is by Kroivim, it's not always what's it called, niskaim that way. And one other thing he talks about is that what if in the Seder Kedima, a guy that's a wealthy guy comes to you, but he needs the money. So you're being mekayim bechazakta boy. Not wealthy, whatever, but a guy that is not poor. So you could mekayim nitzav chesed by giving him the loan. But you know, in the back of your mind, you have a feeling that you may need the money tomorrow to help an ani. So, in the Seder Kedima, does it go by what's in front of you? Or the fact that you know that tomorrow it's going to come, does that trump the chiv of today? See, what?
Do today.
So, Pashas you do today, but he says, unless you have to know yourself, really, you're much more comfortable lending the wealthier guy. You don't really want to lend the poor guy. And the poor guy called you up and he says, I'm going to be by your door tomorrow. You know he's coming. You mom, you know he's coming. It's like he's in front of you. He happens to be. He's landing in Miami tomorrow. But today he's not here. He's still, right? So, Lamaisa, if you know, and the only reason you're giving away the money so that when he comes to you, you could say you gave it out already, so that's not okay. That's V'yareis Melokecha. You have to know that, you know, you got to be honest with yourself. That don't go, like, hiding your money. You know, if...
Talk about
the Nier Yisrael. Who? Nier Yisrael is after Kroivim and after Nier Yisrael. Anir Eretz Kroivim is before Anir Ircha also. And then Anir Ircha, then Anir Eretz Yisrael. Okay. There's a lot in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim about, in the Hashkafa of it, is, you know, maybe we'll see if we discuss that next week or we'll go on to the next Indian over here. But this is the background of the whole mitzvah that, you know, the Chiv is, it's a strong Chiv and it's a strong mitzvah. And he says over here that this is the mitzvah b'tzdaka, tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tzdaka, that this mitzvah is the mitzvah will bring Gula and Mitzvah.